Each of the gospel writers is unique in the way they tell the story of Jesus, in the way that they organize their gospel together, the stories that they choose to tell, and the way that they tell their stories. One of the unique things that Luke does in his gospel is he clusters stories together, or he clusters teachings of Jesus together around a particular theme. And probably the most obvious place this happens is in chapter 15, where there are stories of lostness. There's the story of the lost sheep, then the story of the lost coin, then the story of the lost son. And when Luke clusters things together, it's almost a crescendoing, has a crescendoing effect, so that the last one is the most important of these. I don't know why Luke does that. I don't know if he does it for emphasis. I don't know if that's just the way he thinks. I don't know if, since he was the most educated of the gospel writers, if that was the way he was trained. I don't know. I just know that he does it. And he does it lots of places. The place that our scripture text for today comes from, Luke 12, Luke is clustering things together in this chapter again. Luke clusters four warnings in chapter 12. First, there is a warning against hypocrisy. Then there's this warning against greed. Then there's a warning against worry. And finally, the last warning is a warning about preparedness, being ready, because we don't know when Christ will come again. But it's important that we're ready. When Rich called and asked me to preach this morning, he said that you are following the lectionary readings in your worship service, and that I could choose to follow that or choose something else. And the gospel reading from the lectionary for today is this story that Dana just read for us about the rich fool. And the more I prayed about it, the Lord really laid this on my heart. And so I'm going to bring a message from this morning. Let's look at the scripture. Jesus apparently was teaching, or at least the man who came to him knew that he was a teacher, because he said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to give me my inheritance." In other words, I want my money, and I don't have any authority to get it anymore, so you tell him to give it to me. Well, Jesus refused to get mixed up in this matter. You know, to be sure, there was much more to this story than Luke tells us. Maybe the brother had divided inheritance and the guy wasn't happy with what he had gotten. Maybe the other brother was poor and couldn't give the inheritance. I don't know. It's not important for us. Jesus had the ability, and he did it here, to look into somebody's eyes and to see through their eyes straight into their heart. And when Jesus looked into the heart of this man, he saw that there was a heart full of greed. And so Jesus responds to him by telling him a parable about greed. When I read this story, I see that the man in the parable made three deadly mistakes. And I want to note each of those mistakes this morning. Each of the deadly mistakes that he made would have been enough to destroy his soul, but he makes three of them. God calls the man a fool. When I was a little boy, my mother taught me and my brothers never to call anybody a fool. And I'm sure she got that from Matthew 5, where Jesus said, "Don't call anybody a fool, because if you do, you'll be in danger of the fire of hell." And since I didn't want to go there, I was very careful not to call anybody a fool. But in this story, God calls this guy a fool. And because of that, I'm going to do the same today. He was very foolish. The first deadly mistake the man in Jesus' story makes is that he thinks only of himself. I want to reread this story, this parable that Dana read. And I'm going to highlight the words "I, me, and myself." Listen to how it sounds. "The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop, and he thought to himself, 'What will I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. William Barclay, in his commentary, points out there is no parable of Jesus that uses the words I, me, and myself nearly as often as this parable does. The man in this parable was so completely self-centered, so completely filled with himself, I'm surprised he could even get any grain in his barns if he was in there. They were already full. This man thinks and cares only about himself. I think it's important to note in reading this parable that the man is not condemned for having a barn. He's not condemned for working hard. He's not condemned for providing for what he needs for now or the future. He's not condemned for taking care of himself. He's not condemned for being a good, hardworking, prosperous farmer. The Bible assumes that people are to work, to provide for what they need, and to take care of themselves. Jesus is not advocating laziness, carelessness, not caring about the things that we need. But what this man is condemned for, he is condemned because in his excess, in his abundance of everything that he has, not once does he think of anybody else. He thinks only of himself. He is completely self-centered. In Jesus' day, the rabbis in Jerusalem had a practice. Every Friday morning, they would go throughout the whole city of Jerusalem. And I think in other places in Israel, the rabbis also did this. They would go and they would knock on the doors of everybody who lived in the city. And they would say, do you have anything you want to share with the poor today? And almost everybody gave something. Maybe not every time, but people were generous. Even people who were fairly poor gave maybe a coin or a small loaf of bread or something that they had grown in their garden. But they had something to share with the poor. And then the rabbis would take all of the things that they had gathered back to the synagogue and they would divide them up and take it to the really poor people, to the widows, to people who were sick and maybe elderly and couldn't work anymore, those who had no food. And in this way, everybody had what they needed to live. And certainly the man in Jesus' parable, if it was a real man, would have known about this practice. Certainly, if this guy had looked down the road from where he lived, he would have known about maybe a widow who lives down here, who's really poor and doesn't have anything to eat. And over there is a family where the father has died, and there's nobody to work and provide for them. And over here are some elderly people who can't work anymore. The man could have thought of many people that he could have taken just a basket full of grain and said, here, I want to give this to you. I want to share a little bit of what I have. But he didn't. He thinks only of himself. When I read this story, I'm reminded of a story that Jesus told in Matthew 25. It's the story of the sheep and the goats. Probably all of us are very familiar with that story. The only difference between the sheep and the goats in that story is what they saw. The sheep saw that there were those who were hungry, and they gave them something to eat. They saw those who were thirsty. They gave them something to drink. They saw those who were in prison or sick or lonely and visited them. They saw the needs of others and responded to them. The goats, on the other hand, saw nothing. And consequently, they did nothing. They had no response. And the frightening thing of this story is that the eternal destiny of the sheep and the goats, which happen to be real people, depended completely on what they saw and on their response. The response of the sheep was just very simple, common, ordinary things. But they did something, while the goats did nothing. The man in this story is completely self-centered. The only person that he thinks about and cares about is himself. He doesn't even think, it's because God blessed me that I have such a good crop. He doesn't even think to thank God for what he has. The first deadly mistake of this man in Jesus' parable is that he thinks only of himself. He cares only about himself. And God called him a fool. Well, he made a second deadly mistake. His second deadly mistake was that he put his trust in his possessions. He thought that his possessions could take care of him. He trusted that his possessions would provide everything that he needed for life. They would take good care of him. His possessions actually took the place of God in his life. He trusted in his possessions instead of trusting in God. Notice what he says in verse 19. I will say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. In other words, you have plenty of possessions. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. He thought that his possessions would take good care of him. His really deadly mistake was that he thought possessions and material things were the only thing he needed. He never thought of it that he had a soul, that he had a spirit, that maybe he needed God, that maybe he needed friends, that he needed other people. He thought only of himself. Jesus uses the next 10 verses or so to tell people not to worry. God knows what we need, and God will take care of us. So don't worry. Well, the man in this story, in Jesus' parable, he didn't worry either, but for a very different reason. Not because he trusted in God, but because he trusted in his possessions. And that was his deadly mistake. He thinks his possessions will give him a good life. They will take care of him for as long as he might need them. I was reminded this week of a proverb in Proverbs 23, verse 5. It says that riches have wings. They fly off to the sky like an eagle. Riches may be nice, but they don't last forever. The second deadly mistake of this rich man in Jesus' parable was that he trusted in his possessions to take care of him instead of God. And God called him a fool. He made a third deadly mistake. And his third deadly mistake was that he failed to plan for eternity. He thought only of this life. This life, this moment, is all that there is, and I'm just going to live it up and live life to the best. The man spent all of his time planning for life on this earth, and he spent no time thinking about what happens after he dies. And over the years, I've heard so many people say, well, I don't really believe in life after death. I think what you get in this life is all that there is. I really don't believe that there's anything after you die. You cease to exist, and that's it. Well, you know, our opinions really don't matter in that area, do they? Jesus taught that there is life after death, that he's going to prepare a place for those who trust in him. The Bible, from beginning to end, teaches us that there is judgment and there is existence, there is life after death. And for me,